At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. More Harvey evacuees are heading to North Texas. Nearly 2,000 people were staying in Dallas shelters as of this afternoon. Most of them are at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in downtown. Many of the newest evacuees are coming from Beaumont. Other Harvey evacuees are staying in Fort Worth and Irving. In downtown Houston this week, thousands of Harvey evacuees have been staying at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Just down the street is the only hospital in downtown Houston, St. Joseph Medical Center. As KERA's Rachel Osier-Lindley reports, some doctors and nurses have been on the clock for almost a full week.
When you're working in an ER during a major natural disaster, nothing is routine.
We had a lady who the only vehicle heavy enough and strong enough to get to her through the floodwaters was a dump truck. She was pregnant. She was in labor. She was brought to the hospital in the dump bed of a dump truck, soaking wet.
Trent Tankersley is the director of emergency services at St. Joseph's Medical Center.
As we were getting her over to the women's building to get taken care of, we had a trauma come in. Shortly after that, we had a young man came in that was having a stroke.
And on and on. Tankersley showed up to work Saturday and hasn't had what you'd consider a break since.
Finally got to go home last night for a couple of hours and do some laundry and then came right back. So it's been an interesting 5 or 6 days.
Well, I think we're all working on adrenaline right now.
Kristen Benjamin, an associate chief nursing officer, has been right beside him.
We're working shift by shift. Some people are doing 15, 16-hour shifts. We let them go off and sleep. They come back in.
They say they've seen more than 600 patients in 5 days. At times, they saw more people in a few hours than they usually would in a whole day. Many staffers have been stuck at the hospital with no clear path to their homes. As floodwaters recede, their coworkers can finally come back.
And so we're going to start transitioning staff out to get home so that they can check on their homes, because some of them don't even know what's happening at their house right now because they haven't been home since Friday. So they don't even really have an idea if their house has been flooded or not.
Among those staffing the ER today are doctors from other departments pitching in, and even med students like Diana Johnson.
Me and my classmates, someone created a Google spreadsheet, and we all signed up, and now we're here.
She's in her third year at Houston's McGovern Medical School. She's assisting Dr. Winston Watkins, an internist. It's his first day in the ER.
And actually, one of the first patients that came in happened to be one of my own patients from my practice. And he came in with his foot was hurting. So Diana here went in, evaluated him, and turns out he has gangrene of his right fourth toe. And so we're going to admit him to the hospital.
Are you doing okay?
I'm right.
You're okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming on in, because you don't want to sit at home with this because you could lose your leg.
Yeah.
And I know you like to dance too much to lose your leg.
I sure do.
Nurse Aaron Padrone says he's never seen such a wide range of emotions in the ER.
A lot of laughter, crying, yelling, tears. You know, people that you work with, you think that wouldn't crack, you know, just put their head in their hands and take a second to cry to themselves or not to themselves and wipe away the tears and get back to work.
He's been working here for most of the last week, except Saturday night.
I went home on Saturday to sort of rescue my family before the floods got too high for me to get in or out. And then I came back Sunday, and I've been working and sleeping here ever since.
Neighbors tell him his house is underwater. He says several others working in the ER saw their homes flooded. In a way, he says it's all been a transformational experience.
I think times of crisis and times of emergency and times of stress really have a way to bring people together and create a lot of camaraderie and really can push people to excel at what they do.
Once reinforcements come in, he'll be able to rotate off his shift and find out just how much his family lost. In Houston, I'm Rachel Osier-Lindley.
Catch up on our Harvey coverage at KERANews.org. While you're there, check out a list of ways to help with Harvey relief efforts. For 25 years, the TV show Frame of Mind has served up documentaries, drama, and animation, all made in Texas. The show's new season starts Thursday on KERA-TV. KERA's Vice President of Arts, Ann Bothwell, sat down with Bart Weiss, producer of Frame of Mind, to talk about the series' silver anniversary and what's ahead for independent filmmaking.
Bart Weiss, welcome to KERA.
So good to be here.
The first episode of Frame of Mind this season is a retrospective looking back on 25 years of the show. You compiled all these clips. What stands out for you?
What I find most interesting, more than any specific piece, is the diversity of kinds of work from documentary to drama. Also, in the early days, it was a little more experimental than it is now. to sort of watch that it evolved in an interesting kind of way was kind of the biggest revelation to me.
Are there any themes that emerge?
That Texas is a very weird place.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there was always the kind of quirky, look at strange things that are happening in Texas, the quirkiness of our culture. And of course, the people who make these and their diverse interests. We have people who make carefully constructed narratives and people who have very loosey kind of experimental thinking. So there is no such thing as a typical Texas film or typical Texas filmmaker.
You usually dedicate one show in the lineup to the work of a specific Texas filmmaker. And this year you've chosen Alan and Cynthia Saltzman Mondel.
They've been making very important work for a long time. And it's both like very deeply socially conscious, but also things that are kind of more humorous. Cynthia particularly did a film about ladies' rooms and the kind of discussions that women have in the ladies' room that are very different than the discussions they would have elsewhere. Then there's something special and sacred and humorous about that space. They're very, very well crafted, very meticulously thought out, and they all have an enormous heart to them.
You feature the work of high school students every year in one episode and the work of college students in one episode. How are you seeing that work change?
Well, clearly with access to better equipment at a less expense, it's easier to make films that look good. What's also interesting, aside from the technology, teaching, particularly at the high school level, is better. So you have more films that deal with people's experiences and less like imitations of Saturday Night Live, which is what you would have seen 20 years ago. And that comes from schools dedicating quality people to teach. What you find in high schools particularly is sometimes there'll be an English teacher and they'll be very sort of dramatic things. Sometimes it's an art teacher and they'll do animation. So the work from these schools are really a reflection of the passions of the faculty.
What do you see looking forward for the North Texas film community?
There are more people making more films, and I think the show and the community are sort of looking for ways to tell Texas stories. Like I said before, this is a quirky place. Odd things happen here. The idea that people who live here can think about it, pick up a camera, and make something, I think, is an important thing. And so my hope is that people watch the show and say, you know, I've got an idea about this. Let me pick up a camera and I'll make a film and hopefully I'll be on next year.
The show's 25 years old, but you have been producing it for almost two decades. Do you have a favorite moment?
There's an incredible moment that I found that I completely had forgotten about. We did this commission show about death. And at the time, my mother had just passed away. And I did this scroll where I dedicated it to her. And then the very next thing was Melinda Levin doing a piece about her father who had cancer. And it was just such a beautiful moment. The two of them together just sort of resonated in a really beautiful way. And I cry thinking about it now.
Bart Weiss, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Join Art and Seek Wednesday at the Texas Theater to watch a special Frame of Mind retrospective and meet some of the filmmakers. The screening's free. Find details and a schedule at artandseek.org. Should be partly cloudy skies tonight with low around 73. Tomorrow, partly sunny. 20% chance for showers with the high near 92. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.